Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Got a dynamite next two segments coming up. Got Jerome Kersey, best-selling author, on first, and he's going to be followed by Dr. Ron Paul. These guys are both friends, so they very possibly are going to get some interesting similar opinions. Dr. Kersey, you are a best-selling author. You just came out with yet another ebook. Before we talk about the ebook, I want you to talk about some of your hardbacks. Almost every single one of them, Dr. Kersey, is now on the New York Times bestseller list at one time or another. Can you elaborate for me?
Well, I think the two that people know the best, and they're my website, KerseyNation.com.
Right.
I'm actually signing and selling my own stock of these books, and even for donations, I'm trying to. I have up, you know, these will be collector's items when I'm long gone.
Yeah.
But the Unfit for Command was the first number one New York Times bestseller. It was the Swift Boat book against John Kerry in 2004 when he ran for president. I co-authored that with John O'Neill. And it was made a big impact in the 2004 election, which Kerry lost. And then I wrote The Obama Nation in 2008 against Barack Obama, and it was a number one bestseller. And I've had many of these books have done quite well on bestseller lists. And I've written since 25 of them, too many to enumerate since 2004. But what I'm really concerned about now is this ebook. KerseyNation.com, which is Trump Wins, because I'm trying want to get across to people, and Trump has a lock solid case at the Supreme Court, but we've got to get it in there. We've got to get the case made, and the legal team is doing a brilliant job, and I've got some ideas in this ebook, which they are now studying, that may in fact be even more critical for helping Trump win. And go ahead.
If I'm not mistaken, the Georgia situation is in front of the Supreme Court right now, isn't it?
It's the Pennsylvania situation that is. The Pennsylvania is, in fact, Ted Cruz has recommended that the court take it. But it's only Pennsylvania, and it's only 20 electoral votes. But it's an important case. It has to do with the mail-in ballots that came in violation of this. Basically, the state legislature had not passed a law saying you had these 3 extra days after November 3rd, Election Day, to accept mail-in ballots that were postmarked 3 days later, up to 3 days later. And that's, again, the Constitution, Article 2, says only the state legislatures can make the rules for a presidential election. And these rules were made by the governor and the Board of Elections in Pennsylvania and by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. None of that counts under Article 2. And so, therefore, Judge Alito, the Supreme Court, who oversees the Pennsylvania courts for the Supreme Court, has said we segregate those ballots because they're very suspect. They haven't ruled on the case yet. But the petition is to get the Supreme Court to rule on that case before Pennsylvania certifies the election. And they want to get those ballots excluded. So, again, it's an important case, but I think there are more important cases to take to the Supreme Court. And it's a little bit complicated, but everybody is seeming to think this is a – I can give you the short version of it.
Okay.
The short version of it comes from some cases that – Chief Justice Roberts is very involved in. The cases are Voting Rights Act cases. And Justice Roberts, one of them is called Abbott v. Perez. The other one, that was 2018. And in 2013, there was a case Shelby County v. Holder. Now, what's unique about these cases is that Justice Roberts used mathematical analysis to make his decision. His decision was basically there was a scheme to gerrymander Latino voters so that they had unequal rights. It didn't work because there's so many Latinos and they weren't being discriminated against. They still got congressmen. But if you did the correlational analysis or the regression analysis to try to determine whether the scheme actually detrimented the Latino voters, political science data says the Latinos were doing quite fine. And Justice Roberts said, well, that scheme then is not unconstitutional. It's actually not working. It's irrelevant. Now, here, it's kind of the reverse. We've got mathematical data. We've got empirical data, which shows that this election was fraudulent. I mean, you know, the statistical impossibility in the of votes coming in late after the counting was stopped, and 95% of them are for Biden. Right there, that never happens in voting. So that's only happens with fraud. And the argument is, you know, rather than having what, and the Democrats had planned to game this to kind of wear out the clock, because to get a criminal case and prove fraud would take a long time, or to get a something through the state courts on a voter rights or 14th Amendment unequal rights voting case would take too long. And December 14th is when the Electoral College meets. And the Constitution actually gives some, we'd ask the Supreme Court to say, basically, you take this under original jurisdiction, because we're saying this entire election was so messed up. It was a fraudulent scheme that we're representing the due process, equal right to vote of all Americans, because if this is allowed to go forward, we'll never have another free election. And so, therefore, we're bringing to you a question that is beyond the state. It's beyond an individual litigant. This is a state that is right at the core of our Constitution. And the constitutional argument is that our founding fathers knew knew voters could be screwed up. The election might just be so messed up. The founding fathers said it's really the state legislators who pick the electors. They don't have to pick the electors from the candidate who won the presidential election in that state. They can do it any way they want. Founding fathers said if the electors decide that a vote is so messed up, they can pick the other guy's electors. They could pick Trump's electors, even though Biden won the state. This is what Rudy Giuliani is trying to do now with these hearings, and it might work. Or they could get a slate of electors that say that the election was so compromised that it can't be certified, which is a major problem when it comes to the Electoral College, because those electors may not have 270 votes if enough states take this path. But it's tough to get electors to do this, because electors are not the most state legislators are not the most courageous people around. They today take these jobs because they're realtors or lawyers. They want to improve their businesses. They have an interest in politics. But they're not there to be in John Kennedy's Badge of Courage, you know, book. They're not trying to do something. They just want to do the normal thing as a state legislature and get some notoriety. And then the Constitution says, well, okay, if the Electoral College is all messed up, if the vote is really so messed up that no one won, or we can't figure out who won because of fraud or whatever the reason, then the next remedy is the election goes into the Congress, and the Congress chooses the president. And still we the people, because we the people voted for the state legislatures, and so we voted for the Congress. And now the Congress chooses, because the vote of the people was so messed up that the Electoral College doesn't work. And that's the question we're asking the court to do. We're saying to the court, this 2020 election has so much fraud in it. It's systemic. It was a plan. It was carried out. And it is a plan to defraud the voters who are trying to vote for Trump.
Dr. Corsi, you got to take a real quick commercial break.
Sure.
Sorry to cut you off. I'll be right back.